Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Glenn and Martin Moore.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Thursday, the future of almost everything. That's what we do on Thursdays. Martin Moore, Steve Glenn. I am Jeff Sherman, Commerce and Community. We're going to dive into a lot of local issues today, all about the future. We're going to talk about the future of bowling. A lot of centers closing across the country. But what are the impacts here locally? And I want to do a quick little look at 1974. We're 50 years from 1974, and leaders had a lot of opinions as to what would happen in 2024. We're going to look back to 1974 and see, were they right? Were they wrong? What was good? What was bad? It's going to be a lot of fun. Then we're going to bring some actionable, relatable, entertainment, and business-based ideas for the future of Water Street and the Entertainment District. Kevin Muse, who is the city engineer for the city of Milwaukee, will join us in the second half of the show. I always say that cities do not build themselves. They take ideas from everyone. And they're based on four Ds, right? It is density, having a lot of stuff, having the right size of buildings. Diversity, not only diversity of people, but the diversity of businesses. Transit and infrastructure, discovery. You got to have those surprise and delight elements in downtown. And obviously, development. And the city is making so many positive changes when it comes to traffic engineering. So Kevin is going to tell us all about it. And there's a big event happening tonight where you can weigh in and provide your opinions as to the future of Water Street in downtown Milwaukee. But first, as we do each and every morning on the upswing, we're going to go two up.
Now it's time for the
1, 2, 2.
2 up on the upswing.
Steve Martin, did you know that The Onion was founded in Madison?
Yep.
I think I did know that.
Okay. All right. So The Onion launched on August 29th, 1988. This was its first headline. Mendota Monster Malls Madison. Obviously the fake
alliteration
news juggernaut has exploded since then, but it was founded by UW grads Tim Keck and Christopher Johnson. It's been sold three times throughout the years, now owned by a Chicago-based firm. But get this, The Onion said today that it has won a bankruptcy auction to acquire InfoWars, right? InfoWars, that website founded and operated by conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. Financial terms were not disclosed, but The Onion, I'm sure, is going to have a whole lot of fun with this, without a doubt. The Onion's plan, go back, Martin, you probably remember, like,
oh yeah, a big Onion fan.
Clickhole?
Yep.
Remember Clickhole?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
So that's probably their plan, to kind of use it to poke fun at what InfoWars has done through the
it's
years.
It's kind of ironic that Onion bought
It is kind of ironic. And
maybe they'll
beautiful.
Bring a little truth to the platform.
It really will.
Yeah,
it's going to be beautiful to see how it all shakes out, without a doubt. But I like the local angle. Started in Madison and now part of the national conversation on so many different levels. All right, speaking of local, tomorrow we're going to dive into the holiday season and the toy season, the business of toys. Marianne Szymanski from Toy Tips is going to join the show. Today, so many toys, they come with batteries sold separately, right? Mm-hmm. Locally based, Batteries Plus, the nation's leading specialty battery retailer, right in Heartland, Wisconsin. They're teaming up with Duracell again this year to donate more than 1 million AA and AAA batteries to the U.S. Marine Toys for Tots campaign. All you got to do, they have this really cool program. You buy one pack, and they give a pack for free. And they're going to give away toys to kids across the country, but they're going to include batteries. That's a good thing, right?
Batteries Plus is awesome. I love that place.
It really
is.
Have
you ever been?
I have, yes.
Yeah, I take all my old batteries there, and they just accept them.
You can recycle your batteries there. You can find stuff. And you just kind of wander, too. You're like, ooh, I need this because it's going to go in my remote at some time.
Yeah. I've never heard someone talk about Batteries Plus and say, boy, I love that
place. I love it. I love pulling up. They walk out. They come out to your car and get your stuff.
Do they really?
Yes.
Man. All right. So keep your eye on the buy one, give one promotion at Batteries Plus this holiday season. When we come back, the future of almost everything. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Joined by Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. We get to give away a gift card to the Mineshaft restaurant in either beautiful downtown Hartford or just off of Highway 41 near the EAA in Oshkosh. Both locations, they're just full of creativity. All these wonderful dining rooms that you can explore. Super affordable, a ton of fun, and really family friendly too. Our kids love it. Your kids are going to love it. Your grandkids are going to love it. World-class game room. It's kind of quietly and conveniently set aside so mom and dad can hang out at the bar, have some fun. The kids can enjoy the wonderful game room. Kids under five, they eat for free Monday through Thursdays from the kids menu. And every Thursday when you buy one, get one. Oh, wait. When you buy one pizza, you get a second pizza
for free.
Indeed. Caller number 8 at 855-616-1620. That's caller number 8, 855-616-1620. Gets a gift card to the historic Mine Shaft.
You know, it's so much fun talking about the Mine Shaft. Can you imagine actually going there and...
I know.
It's got to be even more fun than that.
Right. Old school games, having a good time playing arcade games. Well, that's one thing. I love talking about the Mineshaft because we talk a lot about entertainment on the show. Mm-hmm. Like just blending retail, restaurants, drinking, dining, but then bringing in the gaming aspect. Mm-hmm. And you look at the number of bowling centers in business. It has fallen from 4,600 in 2005 to about 3,000 this year nationwide. That's a 32% decline. And obviously, we are passionate around bowling in Greater Milwaukee, right?
Mm-hmm. I love it.
It's beautiful. But what do you guys think is the future of the sport? And can it be sustained without, I don't know, the pressure on revenue for all these places is just really, really intense.
First thing, Kingpin and The Big Lebowski are the two greatest movies ever made.
Never seen them.
What?
Never seen them.
How dare you?
That's part of the problem, why people aren't bowling as much.
Bowling was one of those things that, like, when I was a kid, like, that's what you did on Friday nights.
Yeah.
And Saturday
Every
nights.
Every birthday party.
Yep. I just don't know that is something that, you know, Gen Zers and whatever the generation below them is really want to participate in. It feels sort of like an archaic thing to do. You don't see people talking about it or doing it. It ain't in your TikToks. And I think it's a big struggle trying to get the younger generations to participate in that when they have so many other options.
I mean, there's so many different family entertainment options. Like you said, you know, you have the standalone arcades, you have the indoor golf driving ranges and the bounce houses and the slick cities like opening in Wauwatosa. Like, I don't know. Who's bowling for today?
Have you been to the New Fashioned in their bowling setup over there?
I've used that a few times.
That could be the future of what's happening. And you said entertainment, right? Like it's in a bar, restaurant. Just a couple lanes. They've gamified it to a point where you're like actually talking trash to the person you're bowling against. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so much fun.
It's very well done. And there's always, every time I'm in there, there's people bowling. Yeah. Correct. And what it also does too is when you don't have all these lanes, is it creates a sense of urgency for the customers where they're like, oh, we're here. Like, that looks fun. But there's only a couple loans. We better put our name in and get it. And so I think just like movie theaters and like a lot of other things that we've sort of seen the downfall of, bowling alleys is another one of those that's just going to have to be reinvented and then reinvigorized and reinjected into our entertainment world.
The standalone bowling center. It's probably on its way out.
Oh,
it's got to be something where bowling is still going to exist, but it's going to be part of a larger infrastructure.
Yeah, it doesn't help that the carpeting's all shabby and it smells funny in a bowling alley. The shoes, Yeah, all that stuff.
Well, the
you know?
Shoes. I mean, you know, you know them shoes are 50 years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're all sweaty when you get them.
And looking at you know, you have the big places like Bowlero. Bowlero is buying it up. The smaller places across the country, Bowlero has presence in the market here still. They're not open during the day. They're opening at 4 p.m., staying open till 10 or 11. What do you think should be the price per game for bowling?
Well, I don't even know what it is, and I just bowled like a few months ago.
I want to say like $8, but I'm guessing it's way more than $8. Wow.
That, you know, the kind of the average price is between $4 and $8.
Per person or for the lane?
Per person per game.
Yeah.
But then but many if you of bowl the places three games, will do an hourly cost to rent out the lane and just absorb it that way, too, which, you know, probably has more margin for the centers.
Sure.
Sure.
I don't know. I know the bowling alley in my neighborhood, you know how they're reinventing?
Mm.
Gun shows.
Ooh. Oh, boy, that's a
interesting.
That's a
really
you got to look
take.
Outside of the box.
That's right.
All right. Well, the future of bowling, something to keep on the radar for sure, especially in our market. We're passionate around our bowling, but the world of entertainment is ever changing. All right. We are going to look at 1974 when we come back. In 1974, 20 of the world's leading intellectuals tried to imagine life in 2024. They got a lot wrong. But they got a few things right. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Playing some 1974 music there for you. Back in 1974.
Song.
Oh, yeah. The Saturday Review interviewed 20 of the world's leading intellectuals, asked them to imagine life in 2024. Obviously, 74 to 2024, that's a 50-year span. Neil Armstrong, he foresaw all these enclaves of humans living in the oceans under this methane goop in a survivable surface of Jupiter. He said they'd work day jobs and they'd shop and party while they floated around in wetsuits, but only after surgery replaced the colonizers' hearts and lungs with implantable oxygenators. Obviously, he also kind of saw, hey, this is my rosy vision for 2024 because I'm looking futuristically 50 years from now. Like, he was probably
a
little
close.
Off. Yes, yeah.
He was pretty close.
There's some other social ones that were really interesting in this Saturday Review piece, but it made me think, you know, we're talking about future business and community issues on the show. What are your predictions for Milwaukee and the world 2074, Steve Glenn?
The Bucks are 50 times
world
NBA
champions. And that's it.
Done.
I like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I wonder if as I was thinking about this question, and it's a long article here to try and sift through all this stuff, but does international travel become as convenient as like the cities who've got local travel, local transportation, I should say, down?
Yeah, I mean, the future of transportation.
Speed,
definitely. Yeah.
Access, all of that.
Yeah, availability. Yeah, that's a really good one for sure. I mean, I think, you know, the one thing, you look 50 years from now, and it's already happening, but I think we're going to get some true micro-hyper wellness, personal diets, personal medications, personal surgeries and therapies. You get a lot of that now, but it's not as personal as it could be.
In Milwaukee or like just the world
the
in general?
Worldwide.
Gotcha,
worldwide,
gotcha.
Yes. So, I mean, that's kind of one of my big global predictions that we're going to continue to, you know, medicine is going to get way,
3D,
way
3D
more personal.
Kidneys and
in real time, fingers. Maybe, you know, not making these week out, month out appointments.
Yeah. Martin, what do you think? Looking into the future.
For Milwaukee or the world?
You can go either way.
Yes.
Oh, man. I think it's definitely get more divisive before it gets any better and we become more united and sort of have that, like, utopia where, you know, we all are holding hands and there's no wars and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I definitely think we get smarter and more connected as we have as human beings over the centuries. And anytime that happens, when you connect different cultures and people and countries, you know, you get along a little bit better. So I definitely do see the world cooperating slightly more as far as tech. I don't know, man. Like, I just don't know these days. We could have, you know, contact lenses with little cameras in them and AR stuff. And we don't have flying cars, so that's disappointing. I hope I see a flying car before I die. And maybe I'm living under Lake Michigan in my lake condo with replace my lungs with a breathing device. Yeah. And I'm just down there away from everything.
You know what stood out to me in this article is the ad for the telephone. Built to last for 20 years, your telephone.
The 1975 Nobel Peace Prize winner was included in this piece and then in the Saturday Review 50 years ago. And he said his prediction was in the present, in 2024, he said the world will be openly dividing into opposing groups of governments and all the dangers that threaten mankind increase by an incredible degree. I mean, that's fairly insightful.
Zing's a bang.
Yeah, I mean, and along the lines of what you were talking about, Martin, for sure.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You look at another one of the writers and politicians that was included in the story. Claire Booth Luce mentioned, I'm sorry to say that the picture I see there in 2024 is not one of a woman sitting in the Oval Office in the White House in 2024. Like, wow. That's pretty crazy to look at the stories that were written 50 years ago and put together and have that type of insight.
Sure, sure.
These things happen. They happen as they're meant to.
But, I mean, we have, if you look at everything that was going on, not even just the United States, but the world in 1974, it's inarguably a better place. And so 50 years from now, we will be in a better place. It's always a one step forward, two step backwards kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
More connections, more creativity, for sure, and more input. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. The City of Milwaukee Department of Public Works is leading a redesign for the full reconstruction of North Water Street from East Kilbourne Avenue to East Pleasant Street. Tonight, there's a public involvement meeting at MSOE. We're going to give you all the details, and we're going to talk to the city engineer and get his insights as to what's coming on Water Street, because that is the future of the entertainment district, but it needs some redevelopment, and it needs big ideas. So I know you two have them. I have some, but the general public has a ton, too. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, the future of almost everything. Martin Moore, Steve Glenn, join on Thursdays. The City of Milwaukee's Department of Public Works is leading a redesign for the full reconstruction of North Water Street from East Kilbourne Avenue to East Pleasant Street in downtown Milwaukee. The project is aiming to transform that corridor, make it more vibrant, more multimodal, you know, really kind of support the future of transit, but also look into the box of us as consumers and pedestrians, the city and the users. All these transit and road construction projects, they don't exist in a vacuum. They are happening citywide, and they tie in to creativity and construction each and every day. So tonight, there's a public involvement meeting. We'll tell you a little bit more about that. But at the involvement meeting tonight, you're going to be able to provide your ideas for Water Street. And Steve Glenn, I want to know your one big idea to move Water Street forward, which is kind of the original entertainment district in downtown Milwaukee.
I spent many nights on Water Street in the past.
Yes.
I think we all have kind of the same, let's make a big section that no cars are allowed.
Pedestrian.
Friendly. I would love it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Martin?
I agree. You know, one of the challenges with Water Street over the years, watching Milwaukee develop and downtown develop, is it's sort of in this weird spot where it's like right at the beginning of the business district. So you have bars and restaurants and stuff trying to compete with, you know, City Hall and law firms and all this stuff. And then not to mention Water Street is sort of the main street that goes through downtown that you use to get to everywhere. And so it's sort of just, one, it creates a lot of traffic and pedestrian issues. And then another thing is it just the vibe is not as cool as like old world Third Street. You know, it's just this busy traffic. It can be dangerous if you're pedestrian, especially if you've been
kind of has that density challenge. Exactly. With the parking lots and the size of buildings.
I would love to see something like, not like Fourth Street Live in Louisville, but something where there was a covered area where in the spring and in inclement weather and in the fall, you could still be outside, or like downtown Denver where you can have restaurants set up and eat outside. And you don't have to worry about the hop or trucks or police cars or motorcycles or any of that kind of stuff. I think that would be something worth at least entertaining and taking a look at.
Very good. Kevin Muse is the Director of Infrastructure, the City Engineer for the City of Milwaukee. Kevin joins us in studio. Hey, Kevin, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sure, of course. So let's just talk globally about activity on Milwaukee streets. There's a lot of new bump outs. There's a lot of new bike lanes. There's a lot of new kind of the speed bumps in downtown specifically. Mm-hmm. What's the feedback from business owners been on all the improvements you're making?
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot going on,
as
you're referencing. I think during construction, nobody likes the disruptions. And change can be a challenge. But I would say overall, we are getting a lot of positive feedback. I think once the project's open, we are seeing the benefits we hope for, which is people are more comfortable walking, biking, taking the bus around. People who are driving feel safer. They feel like it's, less hectic to get to their destination.
Slowing down a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we're certainly feeling like we're achieving our goals, and, you know, individual business owners might give you different feedback, but overall, we're pretty happy with where we are.
Yeah. So when we talk state of the state of Water Street, I think listeners and fans kind of see it as, hey, wow, that was the original entertainment district in downtown Milwaukee. It's not the destination it used to be, and it's really ready for reinvention. I mean, how does the city foresee the future of Water Street?
Yeah, and I couldn't have said it better than Martin said when he started it off. That, you know, we've got at least three, and maybe I'm even simplifying it too much, but at least three separate characteristics along the corridor that we're working on right now. And that's we're not even doing all of Water Street. So this project is from Pleasant by Fresh Time down to Kilbourne, right at the base of City Hall. And so that stretch of North Water, heavily residential on the north end, and incredible investment by the Mandel Group and by Newland up there and others. And then obviously it transitions into a mix of office and then into the traditional kind of bar, restaurant, entertainment district. And then as you get to that southern end, it turns into the civic structures, the government and the Performing Arts Center and those types of things. And so the state of it is, I would say, in flux, changing, just like much of our downtown. I think there are ways, and what we're looking forward to with this project, I think there are ways that the street itself, the public right of way, can do a better job of supporting everything that's around it. Mm-hmm. And making sure that we're really trying to build a roadway and a street that reflects all those different uses, considers the different neighborhood contexts, but also really strengthens things. Because I think right now, too often, the roadway, that public right of way, is actually where a lot of the problems occur and come from. And we want to do what we can to resolve that with better design.
All right. When we come back from the break, I want to get your thoughts on pedestrian only for Water Street and other streets in downtown Milwaukee. Connections really matter. You want to create those opportunities for people to wander, to pause, and to explore. And some of those gaps in our downtown, just they need to be healed. Mm-hmm. So I want to get Kevin Muse's opinion on that, city engineer from the city of Milwaukee. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Tonight, public involvement meeting from 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. at MSOE's Dirks Hall, right there on Milwaukee Street. The address is 1025 North Milwaukee Street. Your opportunity to weigh in on the future of Water Street in the entertainment district in downtown Milwaukee. Kevin Muse, city engineer, joins us. So, Kevin, what are the high-level the plans right now for Water Street from the city's lens?
Yeah, so we're just at the beginning of the process. So this is the first round of public outreach. We've got three kind of general concepts we're going to show to folks and look for everybody's feedback hope people, show up to the meeting and give us that feedback. Generally speaking, what we're looking at is prioritizing things differently than they are today. So it's you know, safety-oriented solutions. It's some of the concepts have prioritization of bikes along the corridor and what we call a protected bike lane, a raised protected bike lane, similar to some other things we've done elsewhere in the city recently. We're also looking at what the future of bus transit is on that corridor. It is, especially once you get south of Cherry, there are several bus routes, MCTS routes on Water Street. And in some places, you actually have a bus coming every 4 to 5 minutes. And so we want to figure out, you know, are bus lanes appropriate?
And does that create opportunity?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Opportunity for more nodes of connection, opportunity for more people, opportunity to connect with additional transit options, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the point of all transportation, right? It's all about the connectivity. Nobody does transportation just for fun.
Yeah.
So, except for me. But, I think that's exactly true. And, you know, we want to be supportive of that. The other piece is we've done a bunch of research and data on what's out there right now. It is on the city's high injury network. The downtown plan that was completed within the past year or so and focused on a re envisioning of Water Street as a catalytic project. And then we've seen crashes, 3 fatalities within the past few years on the street for people outside their cars, pedestrians getting hit. And then we also just want to do that economic development support that we've been talking about already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and softening speed and softening traffic obviously is an objective of the city across the entire city, not only on Water Street.
Of course.
Are the elements you just mentioned, are they the typical inputs into even considering a project like this, or what sort of goes into like, hey, we should look at this a little more closely?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So when we are looking at projects right now across the city, that high injury network is a key thing we're looking at. The city has a Vision Zero policy and target year that it's adopted. What Vision Zero is basically a goal of getting to zero deaths and zero life-changing injuries due to transportation in the city. The council adopted that in 2022 and was signed by the mayor. And we've got a target year of 2037. So we're trying within DPW to prioritize projects wherever we can on our high injury network. Other piece of this is that downtown plan element. So the design is actually funded by a tax increment district that was closing out in downtown. And so our partners at the Department of City Development actually identified this as a priority project with the high injury plus the downtown plan element.
As we do each and every show, we look to the future. And this is exactly a part of that connecting MKE downtown plan for 2040. But it's happening right now. Tonight is an opportunity for the public to weigh in on the future of downtown. The preliminary design is 100% locally funded through a TIF that's already in place. Mm-hmm. So the costs are already covered there. And then I'm guessing you're working on additional financing for final design and construction.
Exactly. And part of the effort we're trying to go through right now is Water Street is so wide. It's 125 feet wide in some places. It's so wide that we need a preferred design before we can really come up with a good cost estimate and then go pursue whatever opportunities might be for construction grants or other funded sources.
All right. Kevin Moose is the Director of Infrastructure and the City Engineer for the City of Milwaukee. We're going to finally get to the pedestrian-only conversation when we come back from the break. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of downtown Milwaukee's Water Street and the Water Street Entertainment District. You know, a lot of the street redevelopment, none of it kind of happens in isolation. Everything is working together, and there's definitely a shift in the thinking to make safe, enjoyable streets for all users. Kevin Muse is the city engineer at the City of Milwaukee. Does part of that shift involve finding a portion of a street, maybe Water Street, maybe Brady Street, maybe another, to make it pedestrian only? And what are the pros and cons of looking at those models?
Yeah, I mean, I think the city is open to that conversation with, you know, almost any street. I will, you know, we'll get to water. That might be among the more challenging ones to do, just given how important it is as a main street through downtown. But, you know, I think the challenge with any of them is it's a significant change from where we are today. I think if you're going to do it, you're going to want to do it in an area where there's already a lot of activity and business activation, and therefore you got to do it with at least a certain number of those businesses on board. You know, we're not in the position at least at this point where we're going to push that down a business's throat and say, hey, we're taking away all of your direct access from a car's perspective, right? Or for somebody driving. So that being said, I think we're excited about the opportunities in the future to work with folks to look at possibly pedestrianizing more parts of downtown. Okay. And we've done it before. The Deer District is a great example. So
it's got to be a collaborative conversation for sure. Yeah. You have a couple other project public meetings coming up in November, December. What are those two?
Yeah, so we are on our third round of public outreach for our Burnham Park down in the west-south portion of the city there near South Side on the West End.
Okay.
And so that's coming up, just sharing neighborhood traffic calming and investments in 35th and Burnham there. And then we also are in the starting stages of extending the bike lane we've been building on Walnut for the past couple years west from 20th to 40th. So we've got a neighborhood meeting there too.
All right. And the second meeting is December 4th at Rooted and Rising Washington Park on 39th and Lisbon Avenue. Tonight at MSOE, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. Everyone's welcome.
Everyone's welcome. It's an open house. Come at any point during that time and talk with us and check out the concepts and let us know what you think.
Very good. I appreciate your time. Kevin Muse, city engineer at the City of Milwaukee. I'm Jeff Sherman. Thankful always for Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. This is the future of almost everything. Let's do some business headlines.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
Gruber Law Offices has leased space for its new downtown Milwaukee office and plans to renovate before moving in next year. The firm is moving to 411 East Wisconsin, vacating its longtime office at the nearby 100 East building, which is slated for a conversion to apartments. Rockwell Automation won a contract to deliver software and controls for the planned Kikkoman Foods plant in Jefferson County. This provides some positive news for Rockwell, which recently reported cutting 3,000 jobs worldwide this year due to a slowdown in new orders. Brewfinity Brewing Company in Oconomowoc is expanding to a second location in Pewaukee. The new taproom near Pewaukee Lake could open by March and will feature food including smoked meats as well as an indoor bocce court. I'm Teddy Nykel with Milwaukee Business Journal on 620 WTMJ.